I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blitzbrook here with yet another road to, well, I guess today we're going to call it Crown Diamond. This is the smiling Miss Green herself, Stephanie Moran from Montreal, Canada. Say hey, Stephanie.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
We're going to get a great story out of Stephanie about how she went from a $45,000 a year child psychologist sort of person to a double diamond on her way to crown, rapidly on her way to crown, which I think earns more than $45,000 a year. Yes?
Yes.
All right, Stephanie. So let's get into storytelling because you've got awesome stories. Who were you before Young Living found you? Where were you? What were you doing and who were you? Tell us a quick story to set up how you got introduced to and enrolled. Just tell us who you were first.
Well, I was a social worker. I was going through the motions of my job, 8:30 to 4:30. I loved it. I'm not going to discount it. I loved my job. I knew I was making a difference in the world. I was helping kids. But JP, my husband, had an offer to go to the United States for 3 years to work for the company he currently was working for. So we had no kids. And I said, if you're going to do it now. Because when we have kids, traveling around the U.S. is probably not going to work out. So he moves to the U.S. I don't move right away. I finally get a sabbatical. We go to the U.S. and I end up getting pregnant while I'm there, have EJ. And after I had EJ, she's about 3 months old, is when I started thinking about starting a blog, my Green Living blog, with no real thought that I was going to make a career out of it. Just, hey, I have a lot of knowledge. My friend said I should start one, so why not? So I started making a little bit of money here and there, and I'd already been off for a year. I'm on maternity already, and I'm loving it. I'm loving not going to an 8:30 to 4:30 job. I'm loving being able to go to the farmer's market. I'm loving being able to take a nap. I'm loving this lifestyle of not having to go to a Monday to Friday job. But I didn't know how to make it a reality. So I'm going to say hustle, but for 4 years, I worked my blog and made no money. $500 a month, maybe off Amazon. Didn't really know what I was doing. And if any of you have listened to Kara Kozier's stories, ours meshed together because I enrolled her. And we met in a blogging group together. And that's where I met my enroller, Lindsay Grimont. I met her in that group. We started chatting about oils, and she asked me if I ever used oils, and I said I bought some random brand when I was pregnant with EJ. They're still sitting somewhere. I've never used them. She said, do you want to buy some? I said, sure, I'll buy some oils. Why not? I'll add it to my arsenal of like natural ways. You know, I live green. I live very clean. It's very important to me where my stuff comes from. So that's why one reason that I was drawn to Young Living is because we could visit their farms. I want to know where my food comes from. So for me, when she talked about the farms, that grabbed my attention as well. Again, no intention of the business, because I had been approached while I was pregnant. Well, after EJ was born, I had been approached by numerous people that were in my circle about network marketing. And I was like, no, not interested. And I didn't understand network marketing, I guess, at that point, but I also don't think it was the right time for me. I really believe that it was just not the right time for me. And even prior to that, my sister had dabbled in network marketing and, you know, different companies. And again, I just wasn't attracted to it. And I remember when her husband came over to do a presentation, we invited our friends over to do a presentation for this company. And I just looked at JP and I was like, I am so happy in my 8:30 to 4:30, like this right here. I don't want to do that. That like does not appeal to me at all to go to people's houses and talk about whatever he's talking about. Like, nope, I'm just going to keep doing my 8:30 to 4:30. So when I'd been approached after EJ was born, I still didn't understand network marketing, but I had a really hard time after EJ was born. Like I wasn't in a good mental state. So if I would have started network marketing while after EJ was born, I don't think it would have worked for me. I don't think I would be sitting where I am right now. I think it would be very different. And that's why sometimes I have a difficulty approaching women that just had a baby, telling them, hey, you have this time, you just had a baby. Because I remember what it was like after EJ, and there is just no way I would have been able to do it. So I just wanted the product. I said, sure, I'll buy it. And she mentioned to me, and what she said to me was what that she said one sentence to me, and she said, I remember you saying that you don't want to go back to your job. You keep saying it in the blogging group. You don't want to go back. Maybe this will be your solution. I was like, maybe, I don't know. Sure. I don't know. Maybe it is my solution. I have no idea. I like selling stuff on Amazon. Who knows? And so I remember her saying that to me. And then I just said, okay. And there was a lot of us. There's quite a few diamonds that we were all in that same network, all on different teams, some of us on the same teams. And we all just started talking about oils to people. And the first person I enrolled, I was also a blogger. And she posted in our group, hey, I want oils. Is there a kit that someone can sell me? Like literally along those lines. And it popped up on my Facebook newsfeed. No one had commented. I sent her a message. I'm like, I can sell you a kit. And she's like, what's in it? I'm like, I don't know. Just a second. and I sold her a kit. And that was kind of how the ball started getting rolling. I was like, oh, so it's really just telling people that I have a kit and I can offer it to them. So that year was Young Living Convention. It was in 2014. I had enrolled, and it was the 20th anniversary of Young Living. And at that point, they were offering convention tickets for $20 for international. As I'm from Canada, the ticket was $20. And we weren't in a position where I could just start throwing money around. JP had a great job, you know, making, you know, about six figures in his job, but I wasn't really bringing, I was bringing in my maternity leave because I had a second kid at that point. I had Jackson. He was about 9 months. And I remember just saying, hey, JP, I'm going to buy this ticket to go to Utah. He's like, you're going to Utah? I'm like, yeah, Lindsay told me I should buy a ticket. Kara said she'll buy a ticket. And Tracy Black from blogging is buying a ticket. And Christy Arnold's going to buy a ticket. We're all going to rent a house together and like cram in, and Jackson's going to come with my mom and we're all going to stay together and we're going to figure it out. He's like, okay, you go and do that, buy your ticket. So I felt like I had nothing to lose by buying a $20 ticket. So we ended up buying the ticket. Time started going by and I ended up in Utah with a bunch of women I'd never met before. Never met Kara, never met Tracy Black, never met Christy Arnold in person, Emily Benefit, and never met them before, just in blogging, never met Lindsay. And we all met in a random house in Utah with my baby. Like they all could have been murderers and tried to kill me or something. And I came with my baby and my mom, like probably not the best decision, but we all showed up together and had the best time. Like I can't even explain to you. It is my most memorable time of Young Living. My most memorable. It was so much fun. Even though I was nursing and I'm like a almost 1 year old and my mom was there and I had to do some mom duties, it was one of the best times that I had at a Young Living event. And I am so grateful that I went. And right after that event, I had hit gold by then. And I was still like, what is going on? And I don't say this to brag. I don't say this in, you know, hey, look at me, I hit gold really fast. I like literally there was a time in Young Living when the ish, when crap moved fast for a lot of people and people got put in positions, like literally in leadership positions that didn't have leadership skills. And I was one of those people. And so after convention, I started questioning, like, what am I doing? You know, I want to make $5,000 a month by the end of the year. You know, I'm making maybe $2,000 at that point, give or take. I got my Aroma Complete for hitting silver, super exciting. Love the product. So I'm like, I don't want to go back to my job. Like, totally don't want to go back. And I remember sitting in our condo that we just sold a month ago. Now we have our new house. I remember sitting there and GP said to me, I think you should get Jackson in daycare a little bit. It's like, why? He's like, you're not going back to work, are you? I'm like, nope. It's like, okay, good. We're on the same page now. Because in my head, I knew I wasn't going back to my social work job. You know, I was able to, I worked for the government, so I was able to take time off after my maternity leave with still guaranteeing my job. So I went right to the end and told them at the end. They knew I wasn't going back. Like, it was obvious, but I had the right to tell them later. And I just remember that moment going, okay, I'm going to have time without children at home. So we slowly got Jackson into daycare. I ended up hitting platinum in 2014. And I know this is called Road to Diamond, but I really feel like my story is diamond to crown. Like that's, I feel like stuff just moved so quickly for me. And when people ask me what I did, it's almost a blur. Like I had a baby. It was new to me. I had met tons of people, like more friends than I could ever, friends, you know, acquaintances that I knew what to do with, selling a product that I, you know, we are selling a product that I've never done before. And I just felt like now I look back, I'm like, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't.
Well, here's a question that maybe you know what happened, maybe you don't.
Can you pinpoint what happened that you consciously decided to build? Maybe it was not one thing. Maybe it was one thing. Maybe it was somebody you listened to, something you watched, something you read, some event. Maybe it was a convention. Can you pinpoint a tipping point, like an epiphany, an aha moment where you said, boom, I'm going to do this?
I feel like it probably was around that time when JP said, you're not going back to work. I think that's when I said, I need to figure this out. And I still didn't figure it out. Like, let's be honest here. I still didn't figure that out. But in my head, I was like, I need to figure out what is going on. And I feel like it was that. But then I feel like there was other tipping points of like different progressions that happened throughout my, you know, Young Living career, if we're going to call it that. And I just said, I really think my story is I hit diamond in 21 months and we're like, I've been in England for 6 years. Like, Stephanie, shouldn't you be crowned by now? Like, I know we shouldn't say should, but you know, the person watching me is like, hey, Stephanie, you're diamond in 21 months and it's 2020. Why aren't you crowned? That's a really good question.
Well, let's talk about that. Tell us about the journey from diamond to crown. What's the struggle? What's the breakthrough? What have you learned?
I think I got to diamond quickly and I put work into it. Don't get me wrong. I worked. But I literally think that whole period of 2013, 2014, 2015, there was just this increase in Young Living. And I really believe that I was working the business, but I also had a lot of other people working the business and a lot of people wanted oils at that time. Like they were hot. And I got to diamond, I got to platinum. I was like, whoa, okay, I hit platinum. Oh, I'll be diamond like in 5 minutes. No, I wasn't diamond in 5 minutes. It took me another year to get to diamond, but then I hit diamond and then I felt like this, I guess, weight on my shoulders. Oh crap, I'm diamond now. Like there's more responsibilities and I really need to get my crap together. And I feel like that's when I started hearing that there's other people outside of Young Living that do network marketing. Like there's this whole other world of people. There's just not Young Living people. And they do things differently. And it's okay that they do things differently. And there's other people that can help you outside of Young Living. And just to go kind of forward, I don't even remember who I was listening to, and it was super recent. And they said it was about coaching. Like we'll talk about coaching, but it was about coaching and I don't want to be a coach. Like that is not my dream job. I don't want to be a coach. And I know people want to be coaches and that is not my dream. I don't want to coach network marketing. Like I love it. I love talking about it, but it's not my dream. It's not my passion. And I just always felt this pressure. I need to coach people in network marketing. I have to coach my team. I have to coach. And for 4 years, that is what I felt. And I heard someone not long ago say, it's not your job to coach your team. They need to find also someone outside of your organization to get that coaching from as well. Like you can't coach 20,000 people. You can't coach 5,000 people. You can't coach all these people and do all these one-on-one attention with people. And it was almost like when I heard that a couple of weeks ago, it almost like it gave me permission. Okay, so I don't have to coach everyone on my team. I don't have to put that kind of pressure on myself that I need to be a coach because that is not my ambition in life, to be a coach. So I think that has been a huge theme throughout the last 4 years is that I see other Young Living leaders, whether they're diamond or gold or platinum or crown, and they got their coaching program and they have, we coach our team this way. And I'm like, that's not my dream. Like I didn't sign up for network marketing to coach people. And so I think that throughout the last 4 years has been a struggle for me. And so this part of the story you already know, but what happened was after I hit diamond, I was in Vegas at an ULA event. The RCDs could invite people from their team and Lindsay was a royal at that point and invited me and people on our team and Adam Green was there. And we got chatting and that was the weekend he was leaving to go to your retreat. And Adam and I started chatting and he was also going to be having an event in Calgary not that long after that. And you were going to be speaking at that event. And I had really kind of no idea who you were, but he just started talking about you like for your career. And I was like, oh, I've heard of that book. That sounds interesting. And again, to go back, before that, I was never exposed to anything non-Young Living. Like never, because it just wasn't, we were just never exposed to it. And I was exposed to, you know, events. And then Adam is telling me about this retreat he's going to and he's super excited about it. I'm like, tell me more when you get back. I want to hear about it. And he told me about it and he started talking about the four-year career. And we were at a poker table, me, JP, and Adam. I said, JP, I'm like, I'm going to Adam's event. He's like, you're going to go to Calgary? Like, seriously? Again, he's like, why are we going to Calgary? I'm like, I don't know. Adam's having an event. Sounds like fun. It's going to be a Canadian event. So that's going to be awesome. I'll meet some people. And he's like, okay. And then Adam's like, are you going to come, JP? JP's like, no. No, I'm not going. And so he's like, well, if you win at poker, JP, or whatever it was, you have to come. Anyway. JP was supposed to come. He didn't come. And that was the first time I was exposed to you on stage. And I was like, wow, that guy seems really cool. He seems nice. He seems humble. Adam's talking about coaching, like what is coaching? And then without really thinking too much about it, I was like, I think I need that. I don't know why, but I think I need coaching. But I didn't know why. But I just said, well, if Adam's doing it, I must have to do it because is that what you have to do? And so I applied for your retreat. And Kimmy called me at convention. It was in Texas that year and asked me a bunch of questions. Don't remember any of the questions. And I ended up at your retreat. Again, no expectation of what that was going to be about. And anyone that's gone to that retreat, you have no idea what you're walking into when you go to the retreat. And so I go to the retreat and it was good and I loved it. But I still was like, why did I do that? Like, it just, it's like, I had another aha moment recently, and I realized I'm not as coachable as I thought I was, which is like really, really, really hard to digest. I was listening to an online event recently, a really great online event for 3 days. And somebody in the Zoom chat said, I don't think I'm as coachable as I think I am. And I stopped, like my heart stopped. And I'm like, I think that's me too. Like, I think I'm not as coachable as I would like to think that I am. And that was another like slap in the face, but a good slap in the face. And so I think going to your retreat was amazing and I recommend people do it, but I don't know why I went. And then after the event, I didn't implement really anything, which I spent a lot of money again. And then I go to another event and then another event and I'm spending this money and I'm not implementing. And it goes full circle back to maybe I'm not as coachable as I'd like to think that I am. And that really sucks because that's why I'm not crowned. Like, that is why I'm not crowned. And it's like, I feel like it's really my diamond to crown because this is where my growth has come from, or non-growth really at some point, because I thought I was coachable and I'm not. And pardon?
You cut coaching.
It. Sorry?
If you were coaching me, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
If you were coaching me and I said, hey, I'm a diamond and I'm trying to get to crown and I've been trying to get to crown for 4 or 5 years and I'm not making the progress I want to make, what would you tell me about coaching that might make the difference? Like if I was asking you, should I find a coach? Should I go to a coaching event? What would you tell me about coaching as to why it might make a difference, which is kind of a backdoor way of coaching yourself? Why might it be to your advantage to have a shift around being coachable?
I feel like being coachable and getting a coach, you know, a mentor in your life, can be multiple mentors. Is it, I'm trying to think of the word. I'm like, I'm blocked right now. I feel like coaching recently, and when I coached with you, again, I didn't implement everything that you told me to do, and I recognize that now, and I'm like, got to go back and read my notes. But I feel like coaching, and not me coaching, but someone else coaching someone in my downline, I feel like it helps grow your business at a different level, if that makes sense, in a way that I feel like, okay, you've been in network marketing for 40 years. You've gone through way more than I've gone through, and other coaches as well. And I feel like you have the knowledge to tell me what I quote unquote should do and not make all the same mistakes that you made. So if, say, example, I want to quote unquote onboard people, or I want to get them started with the business. For me, when I got started, it was just sell oils, have a glass. There was like no system. And I struggled with that. And I still struggle with that. And I feel like I would tell someone, if you have different struggles, having a coach is going to help push your business further, because they have gone through the struggles that you were going through. And it could be a coach for multiple things. It could be mindset. It could be, you know, changing your mindset. It could be business coaching. It could be personal coaching. It could be a therapist. Could be anything, really.
So what I hear, Stephanie, which I think a lot of people listening to this will appreciate, is I wasn't here for the last 25 years of Young Living, but from the many, many people that I have interviewed and coached, it appears that, you know, the first 10 years of Young Living was the really tough grind, pioneers, people talking about oils and nobody really wanted to listen. But through perseverance, the company grew. And then it got momentum. And of course, the marketplace was maturing and people were looking more for alternative healthcare and natural solutions as the pharmaceutical and traditional conventional products and medicines sort of, you know, ramped up in our world. And it seems like, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, all a young living person had to do was a couple of classes a week and everybody showed up and bought kits. And then about 7 to 10 years ago, social media was like gas on the fire. And all you had to do was go on Facebook and, you know, unbox your kit when it came. And everybody PM'd you for, tell me more about it. And so what people are searching for today is what's the trend? What's the tidal wave? What's the flow that we're going to catch that's going to like zoom us to the next rank? Maybe that was a pun. Maybe it's Zoom, right? I don't know. But I think, you know, that's what we all get to master is there may be at certain times in our career some system or some trend or some marketplace driven. You know, right now, 2020, a lot of people are seeing a boom in their business. Why? Because people are looking to boost their immune system. Now they're really looking for healthcare and they're seriously looking for plan B. But what are we going to do in 2021 when all that kind of wears off? Ultimately, if people want to succeed in building a business, they have to develop the skills of a business builder, a team builder, a sales leader, a coach, regardless of what the trends and the waves are. Because those are going to come and go. And if you build your business just by surfing the waves, well, when there's no waves, you can kind of fall into depression, right? It's like, what am I doing? How do I do it? How do I teach somebody else to do it? I want to, before we move too far past your modesty, Stephanie, about going to Diamond, the way you tell the story, I'm sure there's a certain degree of truth to it. It's just a big whirlwind. I think there's also a fair amount of modesty. I want to share with people what you did in your first 4 years. Year one, you personally enrolled 40 people, which everybody that listens to Road to Diamond knows that from all the interviews I've done, I've pulled a formula out of how do you get to gold, platinum, diamond, crown diamond. Well, you got to personally enroll 3 or 4 people a month for at least 2 years. You got to personally enroll 80 to 100 people in a 24-month period so that you can press the search for your leadership in a compressed period of time. So that's 80 to 100 people. You can't enroll 80 to 100 people over like 8 years. You can't have a pace of 1 a month and get there. You need a pace of 3 or 4 a month, not 30 or 40 a month, not 10 a month, just 3 or 4 a month. And you nailed that, Stephanie, whether you knew to do it instinctively, you were taught to do it, your upline coached you to do it. Year two, you personally enrolled 38 people and your team grew to 7,500 people. Year three, you personally enrolled 75 people. I don't know, maybe that was the apex of social media, and your team grew to 8,200. Interesting that your growth in your team stalled out year 2 to 3, which is a leadership development thing. But in year 4, you personally enrolled 113 people and your team grew to 14,000. So you have nailed the 4-year career, Stephanie, and the frontier that you're in now is just really, how do you coach, inspire, lead, or ignore, which is also sometimes a good strategy. If you want leadership to flourish, just quit doing everything for them. Quit coaching them. Quit telling them what to do. Quit answering all their questions. Go to the beach for 4 years and see what happens. That's kind of nature's way of developing leaders, right? The mama, she kind of is hands-on for a few months, maybe a year, and then it's you're on your own, sink or swim. That's how leaders are developed. Leaders are never developed in a vacuum of enablement, but only empowerment, which is kind of like boost them out of the nest. And if they fly, they're a leader. And if they yard sale down below, oh well.
And that's what happened for a lot of us that started in 2014 is that Lindsay was new like we were, all of us. So we all had to fly or sink. You know what I mean? We didn't have that, you know, and I wouldn't change anything for the world. Like, everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. And exactly what you're talking about, how building leaders, and that's what happened to like me and Kara Cozier and Tracy Black and Ashley Diet, all those people under Lindsay, because we all were like, let's just do this. Let's just do this and see what happens. And some of us came out on top and some of us didn't.
Some of you worked. You may have caught a wave, but as a surfer, I'll tell you, I am in the Guinness World Book of Records, oldest, whitest, fat guy to ever learn how to surf. Not so fat anymore, but and as a surfer, I'll tell you, if you don't know when to the wave, if you don't know how to catch the wave, if you don't paddle like heck, you don't catch any waves. So you got to give yourself credit.
Thank you.
So just to give people an update, how big is your team now and how many countries are you in?
20,000. How many countries? Oh, God. What? US, Canada, Philippines, knocking on the door in Russia, Europe, probably others sprinkled in there somewhere, but I think the main ones, US, Canada, Philippines, coming on Russia, Europe. And yeah. My volume is hitting on what is 1.2 million.
1.2 million a month?
Yes.
Wow. So you have a $15 million a year business with 20,000 employees, and it's global.
And it's taken me, oh gosh, for the longest time, like comparing myself, like, why aren't I crowned yet? This person's crowned. That person started after me. Why are they RCD now? And it took me a really long time. And there are two diamonds on my team and one crown diamond. And the crown diamond is Kara Cozier, who's one of my best friends. And for the longest time, I said, no, Kara, there's a really good chance. Like, you could potentially hit crown before me, and I am going to legit be so happy for you. And it was almost a really freeing moment when she did hit crown in August. I was like bawling my eyes out. It was like I hit crown too. It was like I was crying with her, and it was this freeing moment of, I don't need to be crowned to be a leader. I don't need to be crowned to make seven figures a year. I don't need to be crowned to be a good mom. I don't need to be crowned to do all these things. I want to be crowned, and it's a goal that I have and that I will accomplish, but I don't need it. And right before COVID hit, for a long time, I was like, oh, I want to hit seven figures. I can't touch my green living business and really, you know, make money there because I'm not at RCD yet. And you can only expand outside of Young Living when you're an RCD. And right before COVID hit, I was like, no, like this, I want multiple streams of income, and I don't care how I make seven figures. I don't care if it's Young Living. I don't care if it's my green living business. I don't care if it's both. I just want it to happen, and a rank is not going to give me that. So then COVID hit and my world completely changed, as many people's lives changed. And a lot of stuff had to go on the back burner, a lot of stuff because of my kids being home. And I'm back where I was, you know, January, February, saying, I have goals and I want to be crowned, but it's not who I am. And I am so happy that Kara hit Crown and she's worked her butt off and I've learned from her. You know, she might be my downline, but I've learned from her and I watch her and I see what she's doing. And people outside of her team were implementing stuff that she's done and we're seeing success with it. And I'll hit Crown. I just don't want to be obsessed with it. And I think I was obsessed with it. And I think that's also what put that lid on me, was I was obsessed with it. And obsessed not in a good way. You know, they say what you obsess about becomes your reality. Well, I was probably obsessed in that it's not going to become your reality. And now I just need to let it happen and do what brings me joy. And running my Young Living business brings me joy, but also talking about the planet brings me tons of joy. And I want to do that too. And it's okay to do those things. And I think a lot of people in network marketing in general think, oh my gosh, when I do network marketing, I can't do anything else. And I look at it as Young Living is fueling my passion right now. Because I'm not really making that much money from my, you know, my blog right now, but Young Living is allowing me the time to grow that other business. And
right.
That's been like so freeing for me. And I'm not saying I'm going to go like start coaching people and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you have a passion for something, network marketing can be that fuel for you to make that money to do your passion. If you love teaching, I don't know, painting, I don't know, or you love teaching people, like you're a great mindset coach, but you're just, you know, you're getting started, but you discover network marketing and you make an income from it. And now you have that income that allows you to concentrate on your coaching program of mindset and you don't have to go back to your 9-to-5. So that's how I'm visualizing my network marketing is it's, I love it. I love the community. I love the people. I love all the people I've met. I love the coaches. I've had amazing mentors, including you in my life. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I just know that there's more out there for me, like for me personally. And I need to like step into that.
So Stephanie, most people watching these interviews are stars, senior stars, executives, maybe silvers. And just because of the numbers just work out their way, most people are struggling.
Right.
Most people are trying to figure it out. They're trying to find their way. They're trying to get the confidence. They're trying to find their system, their groove. They're trying to find that little wave to ride. They just want some progress and some momentum. And of course, when you don't have progress and momentum, it's real easy to have thoughts of this isn't going to work and I'm going to quit and all of that stuff. And I know you can relate to all of that. As we wrap this up, what would you say to the people that are watching that are in that place of trying to figure it out, struggling, wanting it real bad, but doubting whether they can or whether it will? What would you say to them?
I really feel like it's a numbers game, and it probably sounds cliche because you probably heard it from like a million coaches, but it really is a numbers game. It's the more people you talk to, the more people that potentially will say yes, you know. There's different ways to do it. It could be getting 100 people in a room and telling them about the oils. It could be social media by, hey, I need to reach out to 2 people a day, or I need to have, you know, Richard has his run through rank, which is you need to reach out to X amount of people and have to have X amount of responses. So if it takes you 50 people to reach out to get those 2 responses, whether they're yes, no, or maybe. So it's whatever works for you. And for me, it's really a numbers game. It's how many people are you going to talk to? Because if you talk to 50 people a month and someone's business that might be exploding is talking to 100, well, it's because they're talking to 100 people. And also I feel that a lot of people don't have the confidence to talk to people. And I'm still wrapping my head around it. I still get nervous reaching out to people on social media. I don't know, like, hey, how's it going? Do you want to buy oils? Not exactly like that, but it can be intimidating, but I'm slowly wrapping my head around they don't know me and what's something that, I can't remember her name. She spoke at GoPro. Oh my gosh. She said, what's the best thing that can happen instead of what's the worst thing that can happen? And that's always stuck with me a couple of years. I think it was Michelle Poehler. Yes, Michelle Poehler. And I remember her saying that, what's the best thing that can happen? And that stuck with me because, okay, I reach out to five people. And what's the best thing that can happen? They can say yes. And so that's kind of when I sit, pardon?
Often enough, if you keep talking to them.
Right. And so I guess I would say to somebody that's new is just, again, this is cliche and it's be consistent, but I really feel like being an entrepreneur is being consistent in what you do. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't been super consistent, and that's why I don't have the results that I want. And it's true. And I'm proof that if you're not consistent, you're not going to get the results you want all the time. I'm consistent for a certain amount of time. I see my results and then I fall off the wagon. But it's really that consistency and to pick what it is that you want, what works for you, not what that coach says and that coach says, because everyone has a different life. Everyone has kids, dogs, works, husbands, girlfriends, partners, and everyone's life is different. So if this coach says you need to work, reach out to 20 people a day and that intimidates you, well, maybe it's five people a day because that's what you can be consistent with. I think that's more important right. than more people, because if you can only be consistent for 10 days of 20 people, but you can be consistent for 6 months of five people a day, what's going to be more beneficial? The five people a day. So it's to have
That's a fundamental principle of Run Through Rank, is if you just invite one person a day, that doesn't sound like much. But if you do it every day for even 60 days, it doesn't put you in the top 1% in Young Living. It puts you more like in the top 0.1%. And the cool thing about one person a day is everybody on your team or everybody that you would be bringing on your team can look at that and say, well, I can do that. That takes maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day. And yeah, you might have to reach out to five people to get one person to reply, which is what we call an invite when somebody responds. But that little bit of activity will put you in rarefied air. It'll put you in 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 2,000 people, not because it's such a great accomplishment, but because if you did it every day for 60 days, hardly anybody ever does that.
Exactly.
So pick the smallest, easiest thing and just do it every day.
And like I said, people always say consistency, consistency, but sometimes they have these big goals. Like, I'm going to reach out to like 100 people a day. But, you know, as you've told me many, many times, Stephanie, that is too big because you're never going to follow through. There's going to be that like point percent that will actually follow through with that. And we're talking to the masses, right? We're not talking to that special breed of 0.1%. And I just think it's a numbers game and it's consistency.
Well, Stephanie, you are a dear friend and a great inspiration to everybody that knows your story in Young Living. And I appreciate you so much carving out the time and laying your story out, both the success and the challenges, because people will be able to relate to that. And people that are on their way up may remember what you said. The challenges are going from diamond to crown, and they're going to learn from that. You're going to be a great, great gift to anybody that takes the time to study this interview. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on this call. You're an awesome person. You're an awesome human. You're an awesome friend, and you're a great mentor. And I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, all of you, for listening to another Road to Diamond. We'll see you on the next interview. Over and out.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. this could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.